Welcome to the Power Players Talk Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your host, Chris Molinari. Up close and personal conversations with powerful and successful people who give our listeners the inside look on what it takes to move from average and ordinary to the top of your game. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Power Players Talk Show on buildingfortunesradio.com. Now, on to our show with your host, Chris Molinari.
Hello and welcome to our show. Power Players Talk was conceived because I felt there was a need for a platform where the average person or even very successful individuals could have access to powerful people in many and varied career fields. Our show features authors, marketers who are at the top of their game, company executives with amazing new technologies, and many others who will hopefully light a spark in anyone listening. They may give you a whole new vision of the endless possibilities in our world. And you'll also hear from many who have very exciting and compelling stories, like our guest today, that may provide information you've never heard before. To me, to be informed is to be prepared. And with that, I'd like to introduce our special guest today, who is Michael Levine. And Michael has been a public relations titan in Hollywood for decades, having moved to L.A. knowing nothing about the industry. His career began in New York at age 18, and he was managing rock groups. And with hard work and determination, he built his business into a very, very successful one. In 1977, he wanted to change his life a little bit, and he moved to L.A., and in 1983, opened his PR firm in Sherman Oaks above the Beehive Hair Salon, which I absolutely love that. Fast forwarding to 2013, when he sold his firm that represented hundreds of clients, including Michael Jackson, Fleetwood Mac, Stevie Nicks, Barbra Streisand, George Carlin, and way too many to mention in the time we have left. His list of stellar clients included 58 Academy Award winners, 34 Grammy winners, and 42 New York Times bestsellers. Levine is also a writer, having penned one of the best books on public relations, Guerrilla PR, and he has a few since then, I believe, and that they're available now on Amazon and other bookstores. And he also appeared in the POM, or POM, Wonderful Presents, the greatest movie ever sold, the 2011 documentary by Morgan Spurlock, pardon me. So without further fanfare, I'd like to welcome you to the show, Michael.
Thank you. You're very kind.
Well, if I missed anything you'd like to add, please feel free to do so. If I left anything out or anything you'd like to add to that, that would be great.
No, your introduction was very generous. Chris, my story is really the story of self-creation. And the reason it may have some value is not because I'm particularly important, but it's an illustration, from my point of view, that we're all born into this world and we're given different cards. Some of us are given good cards and we play them bad. Some of us are given bad cards and play them good. Some of us are given medium cards, play them medium. The question is not, the question is much more, how are you going to play your cards than the cards you're given? And there we are. So I was not given, as it happens, good cards. In certain ways, I guess I was given good cards, and then I was born a Caucasian male in America in the early part of the 20th century. So that's generally, when comparing yourself to the rest of the world, that's a pretty good card. But I came from an alcoholic home. I had some dyslexia. I did not go to college. Now, those things are, generally speaking, traumas that do not encourage a human being in the direction of great success. So you got to learn how to take, or I believe that you would be assisted to learn how to play bad cards well, and that in part is my story.
Well, I think that's an amazing story, and I did read quite a bit of your bio, and from there to now, to where you ultimately ended up, is an amazing journey. So what are you working on now, career-wise? I mean, I think, aren't you coaching or mentoring individuals on
how to get
recognition for their businesses and other things like
I do coach people. What I'm fundamentally interested in teaching them is not so much about business, but about the interlink between how you handle your life and how you handle your business is deeply connected. And so one of the things I try to teach people when I'm talking to them or large audiences is the way you do anything is the way you do everything. And people are where they are because of who they are. And so if I know somebody who has a perpetually disorganized car, their car is a mess all the time, not just once a week or once a month, but it's a perpetual mess. I can pretty well establish that their life is a mess. This is how they live their lives. And, of course, they're entitled to do that. But I want to show them, if they're inclined to listen, about the interlink between personal and professional effectiveness and efficiency, and a bit of an efficiency expert.
Well, you would love my closet because... My stepfather was a Green Beret officer. Pardon me?
An organized closet does not guarantee success.
I understand
but
that.
Hold on, Chris. This is an important piece. An organized closet does not guarantee success. But a perpetually disorganized closet rather guarantees failure and poverty. Poverty is known for a number of things, but disorganization is high on the list.
Well, and then you would love my car because I'm OCD about my car being spotless.
Yeah. Well, again, that's a very good way to steer clear of poverty, but it's not necessarily a guarantee of success. You have to do more than have a, and I'm sure you do more, but If there are people listening to this show who have an organized closet, I say good start.
And from there, they go to?
Well, they have to look at other ways of being effective and efficient. And, you know, I've told people, I think I've even told you off air, I'm not very bright, but I'm pretty able at stealing a lot of bright people's ideas. And watching, and what I mean stealing is, you know, if you want to be successful in a given field, why don't you find three people who have done it and imitate them? I mean, you got to be a real dope to try and run opposite people who have achieved great success.
Well, it's, as they say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And Tony Robbins would say match and model and mirror successful people.
And Tony Robbins is right, and Tony Robbins has a brain. I mean, match, model, and mirror. But here's the problem, Chris. What percentage of Americans today have a library card? Do you know the answer to that, Chris?
Probably not very many.
Well, do you want to take a guess at the correct answer?
11%.
Okay, so Chris is going to guess 11%. And by the way, if Chris were right, that wouldn't be a great number. That would mean 79% of Americans don't have a library card, according to Chris. That's what Chris posits, right? I'm sorry, 89. Apologize, 89. I told you I was dyslexic. But here's the reality. Now, Chris thinks 11% of Americans have library cards, but the reality is that 3% of Americans have library cards. And that means that 97% of Americans drive past, only 3% drive in. Now, if you want to model and monitor and imitate, I can't think of a better place to do it than a library. And by the way, can I tell you what the cost of a library card is?
Sure.
Free.
Yeah.
Free. So you see, 97% of Americans think getting a library card for free is a bad idea. And those same Americans who are rejecting the idea of a library card for free are playing on Facebook and watching cat videos. So one has to say, hey, 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 who sold you on that plan?
Well, you know, of course you know who Dr. Ben Carson is. And
I do.
He, you know, I was just listening last night to his story, and he came from a broken home, and
yep.
his mother worked, I don't know, two or three jobs.
Yep.
But she insisted that her sons read a
there
book. She made him write, like read a book a month or a book a week or something. And he said that going to the library gave him a mirror into anything he wanted to be, anywhere he wanted to go, and anything he wanted to do.
I think Dr. Carson is right in that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, look, it's you've got to train your mind to have a thirst for information and knowledge if you want to be successful, or very successful, I should say. If, on the other hand, you don't want to train your mind to be curious and engaged in the world, not to worry. We have jobs in America for those people. We have jobs in America for those non-curious folks. May I tell you about them?
Certainly.
Well, they come with a uniform and a name tag. They don't pay very much. And if you're not curious, you're likely to end up with a job that involves a uniform and a name tag.
Absolutely. And right now, those same people, because of one reason or another, and I don't want to go political or anything, but now are demanding $15 an hour.
Sure.
And I've known people in college
yeah.
that were college graduates that were getting $15 an hour.
Well, they can demand $500 an hour, right?
Right.
Just like they can demand that gravity doesn't work, but it's
right.
It's an absurd notion because
right.
in the end, the market will decide what they're going to get paid or not. And if you push the minimum wage up to $15 an hour, all you're going to do is either get them replaced by a robot.
Exactly.
Right? Which means
exactly.
they're going to get $0 an hour. Or if you're working, by the way, as a cashier in a restaurant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your new minimum wage, according to the government, is $15 an hour, right?
Yeah.
Well, so what's going to happen to that business owner? The business owner is going to say, hey, 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 this is nuts. Let's get a robot to do it. Let's get an automized cashier. Pay $0 an hour. Now, what happens to that cashier? They get fired. See?
Exactly.
So they don't make $15 an hour. They make $0 an hour. But politicians who like to feel pretty good about themselves and get reelected like throwing around a lot of nonsense to people who, it sounds good. It all sounds great. Problem is, it doesn't work. It's
right.
kind of like telling people you can eat cheesecake and be thin. Now, you can say that. And I guess people who like cheesecake are going to vote for you, but it doesn't work.
Absolutely not. One of the things that I saw on your Facebook page, and I wanted to talk about this, that you wrote, so what did Caitlin do that we can all learn from? And then you put, PR is the least expensive, most powerful marketing tool on the planet.
Right.
And so what did Caitlin do besides change from Bruce Jenner to Caitlin?
Well, she engaged one of the most competent PR professionals in the country, a gentleman by the name of Alan Nirob at Rogers & Cowan, to steer this effort. You know, it's so interesting. People who do their own... I wrote a book, as you know, called Guerrilla PR, which was a tool that allowed people to do their own PR. But I still recognize, even though that book is the best-selling PR book of all time, that while it's a tool to help people understand and make accessible public relations work, you wouldn't hire You wouldn't ask a person who never performed a heart surgery to operate on you unless you were an idiot. So, I mean, trying to do things yourself, if your arm is broken, you better get your backside over to a doctor who knows how to fix your arm and not your neighbor who doesn't know how to fix your arm or to try to do it yourself. It's just ludicrous. So what Caitlyn did, what Bruce Jenner or Caitlyn did, was had the good sense to hire a skilled professional who performed in an extraordinarily brilliant and compelling way.
And at that, we need to take a little break, and then we'll come back and pick that up. So, Peter, take us to commercial.
You're listening to the Power Players Talk Show on Building Fortunes Radio with Chris Molinari. This special segment can be heard again anytime by going to www.buildingfortunesradio.com and clicking on the Power Players Talk Show radio segment. Listen in often and get to know Chris Molinari and her guests. Thanks for listening in. And now, back to our show.
All right, well, we're back with Michael Levine, and we were talking about what Caitlyn did, but, you know, kind of getting back to how you mentor or coach people. Again, as you said, it's not only about the business or building the business, because most people, if they know the kind of nuts and bolts of the business, they can build it. But the point is to get their business out there, but also you were talking about working with them on a personal level and helping them in my, you know, just I'm picking up on this to sort of change behaviors that aren't working or not serving
people
them.
Who have, look, Chris, my observation is that people who have screwed up businesses overwhelmingly have screwed up logic relating to reality and responsibility. Most of the people who have screwed up businesses have screwed up logic relating to reality and responsibility. And until you get your mind pretty clear and focused about being real, or reality, and responsibility, your role in the dilemma, you are going to have not only a screwed up business, you're going to have a screwed up life.
That was just making me think.
Yeah,
I think
by
we
the
need
way,
to talk
well,
after
here's
this.
What I'd like to ask. Here's what I'd like to ask you and everyone listening to the show. Let's play a little game.
Okay.
Let's pretend you and everyone listening to the show, let's play a little game. I want you to think of two people. Don't tell me their names. Two people.
Okay.
Any two you want. Two people who are lovely but underachieving in their life. Two people. Could be a man, could be a woman, could be gay, straight, black, white, young, old, doesn't matter. Two women, perfectly lovely people. Two people, perfectly lovely, who are underachieving for some reason in their lives. I will tell you four. Now, everybody listening to the show, do the same thing. Think of two people. Get two names of two people. And I'm going to tell you four things about those two people. Are you ready, Chris?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Two people that are underachieving. Nice people, but somehow they can't seem to achieve to their potential. Here are four things about them. Number one, they have a screwed-up relationship with reality. Number two, they have a screwed-up relationship with responsibility. Number three, they have a screwed-up relationship with time. They're always late. And number four, they have a screwed-up relationship with communications. You call them. They don't return calls. They can't find their phone. Now, four things. They have a screwed-up relationship with reality. They have a screwed-up relationship with responsibility. It's never their fault. They have a screwed-up relationship with time. And they have a screwed up relationship with communications. How did I do?
I don't know, but you're going to tell me.
Well, I'm going to ask you, if you think of two people who you know who are lovely but underachieving, do they have a screwed up relationship with reality? Likely yes. Do they have a screwed up relationship with responsibility? Likely yes. Do they have a screwed up relationship with time? Likely yes. Do they have a screwed up relationship with communications? Likely yes. There you go. And everyone listening to the show, same test. So life becomes a logical, work is a logical extension of the life lived effectively and efficiently. If you're and if you're screwed up in your capacity to be honest with the way the world is, not the way that you want the world to be, but the way it is, and your role in that, you are likely to have a screwed up business and a screwed up life.
And so when you're working
and
with these
people...
Not to worry,
Chris. We have jobs in America for people who have screwed up lives. May I tell you
okay,
about that?
Okay, but what if they truly want to improve their lives, but
well,
they're stuck
then they better
somewhere.
Increase their capacity to have a better relationship with reality. They better be dedicated to seeing, accepting reality at all costs. They better be dedicated to... an honest reading of the way the world is, not the way they yearn for it to be, and they better be dedicated to understanding in real and significant ways what their role is in the problems that they're engaged in. I mean, most people belittle and blame others for their problems to a ludicrous level. I mean, people who are screwed up go to ludicrous levels to blame Bush and Cheney and Obama and your mom and the biggest one, of course, is your parents.
Your mother.
Your mother, your father,
not,
your brother, your
not,
lover,
yeah.
your cousin, your daughter, the girls on Sex and the City, Oprah, Obama, me, Michael Levine, Hollywood, sexism, racism. I mean, they will go to almost any level. To almost any level, to belittle and blame the world and people in it for their problems. Don't sign up for that class. If
no.
you want to be broke in America, all you got to do is think like a victim, and I promise you, you will be broke in America. There we are.
I'm writing. Peter's probably writing too, but I mean, you know.
And so it is, and so it goes.
So it is, yes.
And so it is, and so it goes. And listen, I know that there are people listening to this that are angry with me for saying these stark things, and, well, you don't understand, and you're... No, I think I do. I have a deep, deep care, compassion, and interest in... people who are underachieving in poverty, 15% of Americans, 15% of Americans are living in some form of poverty, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly the same number, by the way, as 51 years ago when we declared a war on poverty and spent trillions of dollars giving poor people more and more money and advantages and opportunities in an effort to help them. And the truth is we haven't budged the poverty rate. So we say, hey, when Barack Obama became president of the United States, very hopefully seven years ago, right, there were 26 million Americans on food stamps.
Right.
Wow, that sounds like a lot. My goodness gracious, only 320 million Americans in the country, 26 million on food stamps? Yes, 26 million.
Today, now isn't it 52
40,
or something?
48 million.
Right.
So we've gone
right.
from 26 to 48. Now, you
right.
like that number? I don't like that
no.
number. That's not a good number.
No.
See? That's not a good number. That's not reason to celebrate. Now, I want to give support and assistance and encouragement and money, if necessary, to the hopeless, to the helpless, not the clueless. See? You get the difference? I want to give money to the helpless, not the clueless. The average American male making $50,000 a year or less, right, in America,
mm-hmm.
the average American male making $50,000 a year or less statistically drink 6 beers on Sunday during football season. Wow. My goodness gracious. Let's see if I understand this. If you're an American male making $50,000 a year or less, you're statistically drinking six beers on Sunday during football season. Now, since I don't drink any, that means somebody's drinking 12. Wow. How's that going to work out in a long-term anti-poverty strategy?
Not well.
I don't like that class. Don't sign up for that.
No.
So there we are. So it is and so it goes. You know,
I know quite a while ago you made a comment to someone that was interviewing you, and you said most people are stupid and lazy. And
most Americans in the early part of the 21st century have devolved into being, overwhelmingly Americans have devolved into a culture that is largely stupid and largely lazy. They are trying desperately to make as much money as humanly possible by working as little as humanly possible. Now, this is a bad plan, which is exactly what, now, that doesn't mean all Americans, of course. Any one of us can name a dozen people that doesn't respond to, but it's overwhelming. I mean, America was always number one in public education throughout the world.
Yep.
Today we're 19.
Yep.
That's not good.
No.
See, last year, Vietnam, a country we bombed back into the Stone Age in the 60s, passed us in education. That's a bad deal. So
certainly is.
There you go. But look, there are principles at play. Just like gravity, there are natural principles at play. It's success and failure. Success leaves clues. Failure leaves clues. And one of the clues that's so unmistakable is hard work. Hard work. You want to be successful at your job? I'll tell you how to do it. Come in an hour early, stay an hour late. And find a way to say to whoever gave you the job about twice a week, thank you for the opportunity. See? That's an unusual mindset. But
well,
I would suggest it will serve you pretty damn well.
Well, you and I know somebody who works 14, 16 hours a day.
There you go.
And that's why she's where she is.
Largely. Now, that doesn't mean that that's the only reason, but it does mean it's a principal reason, if not the principal reason.
No, it's also focus and...
There you go.
And,
but
yeah.
Could this person have done it, done the same thing on 8 hours a day? No. No, you don't win the game 9 to 5, see? You play
right.
The game 9 to 5, you win it on an area of life called nights and weekends, see? That's
right.
How it goes.
Exactly.
Now, if you don't like that, don't be mad at me.
Right.
That's how it goes, see?
Right. Well, Michael, we're at 28 after, so
all right.
In
well,
one
nice
minute,
to talk
do you
to
think
you
could just wrap up a little bit, if
well,
you have any closing things to say?
No, that I'm honored to be talking. I couldn't have ever imagined many years ago that we'd be in this kind of conversation. I hope it's of some benefit. I understand that it's tough love and tough medicine. I'm very, very concerned also with parents, frankly, who are raising a generation of young people who I think are very, very, very ill-prepared for the tough days ahead. Life is difficult, and I think too many parents have coddled their kids, and I'm very concerned. You know, seems to me as I look around, 24 is a new 14. That's not a good deal.
No,
not
at
a good
all.
Deal.
No.
So anyway, it's an honor to talk to you and to your audience. I hope it was of some modest value. And,
it was wonderful.
We have a website, if I may.
Yes, please.
The Excel, E-X-C-E-L, theexcelreport.com. It's a newsletter that I do free twice a month. I think it's quite good. It's about some of these ideas presented in some different ways, and I think it's quite good. If you got the guts, go on there, theexcelreport.com, sign up for it. You can get it for free. You're going to like the price, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity to talk to you.
Well, thank you, Michael. I
God
really
bless
appreciate
you.
It. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Power Players Talk Show on buildingfortunesradio.com with Chris Molinari. Up close and personal conversations with powerful and successful people who give our listeners the inside look on what...
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.